you know, the Bears lose to the Pack. Kansas City, are they cooked by my Houston Texans? C.J. Stroud did the dang thing, and that defense was hitting. Boy, I like it. Buffalo Bills stay alive. Pittsburgh Steelers got a little bit of life. We won't talk about my man Box Cardinals over here to the right, but we will talk about the Denver Broncos. Are they the way too real Denver Broncos or John Elway, or are they just a year or two away with Bo Nix? We got Husker men's and women's basketball combined 18-0. Both last two games have been blowout victories. The women scored, I think, 103 points, the most that Nebraska's ever scored in Big Ten. And obviously, the men took care of business against the Creighton Blue Chumps, 71-50. So a lot going on. Plus, we want your thoughts on that. But since we got in our first segment, we are in Husker land. You know, we got two new hires, right? I mean, things move fast. And obviously, Coach Butler was let go at some point last week. Coach Snow's taking over for, you know, I guess the foreseeable future, moving into the bowl game. And so everybody's like, okay, then, you know, Coach Rule can probably take a little bit of time to fill that. And then it seems like, I don't know if it was Saturday or Sunday, Coach Donovan Raiola was, you know, I guess dismissed or whatever you want to, you know, whatever the language is. And then Coach Wade was hired probably. It seems like, obviously, it was one move led to another, and then he was announced very shortly. And who knows if there's any more moves on defense. It seems like they're pretty set on offense as far as any type of movement, unless somebody goes on to somewhere else for a bigger opportunity. Defensively, it'd be interesting to see. We'll start there. Better the two Knicks because, you know, we had the 3-3-5. Everybody was mad about the 3-3-5. Everybody mentioned the three-man front on the goal line against Iowa. Coach Ulrich, that's coming from San Diego State. You know, turned their team around. You know, the first year they weren't very good on defense, and obviously it's the first year him being there as a linebacker coach. Then he took over as DC, and they had a drastic turnaround. You know, obviously the strength of schedule was very weak, but they were able to hammer some teams. You know, in that Mountain West Conference. And so he runs a 4-2-5. I've watched a little bit of tape on him, did some digging, know a couple guys. One of my old linebacker mates, I was a mentor to him, or a little bit of an advisor to him while I played. Kirk Morrison is probably arguably the best linebacker to ever play there. You know, true linebacker, and he does a lot of, you know, media stuff. So I got to talk to him for a little bit last night and got some insight on the type of things he's potentially going to bring to the Big Ten. A lot of the same, to be honest with you. Probably a little bit more four-man front, but I think one thing I do like about him is that he seems to curtail his defense to his personnel.
Yeah.
That's a step in the right direction.
Yeah, I mean, he's been a defensive coordinator only for a couple of years. Yeah. He was at Idaho, then San Diego State. They won 9 games this year.
Yeah,
that's really good for a Mountain West school, because usually that conference is dominated by guys like your Boise States, your UNLVs. I think those were the two teams that everybody kind of had in the Mountain West Conference. Like, those are the guys.
Yeah.
But to be a 9-win San Diego State team, who's usually a bowl eligible team at 6 wins, 7 wins, and they were really good defense this year.
Yeah, they you know, good stats, and you know, to be honest with you, they probably had the three best players in the whole league, offense or defense, on their defense. They got a really good linebacker. That's really, like, obviously going to go to the next level, and two other ones are probably following there. So he's, you know, they're stacked up, and he played to his strengths, and they were able to, you know, take his coaching as a new coordinator, and really, you know, really have a drastic turnaround. So, you know, when he's coming in, you know, to Nebraska, obviously this is the biggest job that he's going to have. You know, make no mistake about it. It's going to be an adjustment period for him. I'm just going to assume that Phil Snow will be around to be an advisor for him. It's his first opportunity at a real, like, true big job. I mean, you know, obviously where he was at are big jobs, but this is about 2 or 3 stratospheres, maybe even 4 stratospheres higher than where he was at, you know. And so I think when you make this type of move with this type of, you know, he's a younger coach, I think you're looking at his intangibles, his qualities. Yeah, obviously, you know, most important, you're looking at him as a person. and see where it goes from there. And I think that I think one of the things that when you heard Coach Rule talk about, I think maybe after Coach Butler was let go, that he talked about he wanted somebody that can come in, look at this roster and feel like they can make plays or make, you know, make do with what they got, make them better players. And that lets you know that they feel that the talent is good. Now they want to always add talent, but more importantly, they feel like he has a background and little experience that he has to be able to do that.
So this year, with their 9-3 season and their 6-2 record in the Mountain West, they were fifth in scoring defense in college football.
Yeah.
That's a Mountain West school.
Right.
You think of the conference, Ash and Genty ran all over most of that conference last year. So yeah, it's cool to see that. And they were the number two stop rate in FBS football too.
Yeah.
That's impressive for a, you know, mid-major, technically non-power four school to do that.
Yeah. I mean, look, they had a good year on defense and, you know, but, you know, he probably would tell you like we had a really good year on defense, but that's what we should have done. We probably, mm-hmm. like I said, you know, they had three best players in the whole league on his defense, offense or defense, and obviously special teams included. And, you know, it's a little bit, it wasn't a very good offensive conference, mm-hmm. but domination is domination.
Yeah.
And so sometimes you got to just get out of your own way and just let the players in the defensive unit you have in this case, just, you know, they only can play who they can play. He can only scheme against who mm-hmm. he can scheme against. And so that's good. You know, everybody wants, I think one of the things Nebraska fans do, and this is probably a little bit where you run into trouble, is that you just automatically want to, you know, I call it, we call it resume pimping, right? Mm-hmm. Where it's like, you just look at and you try to say, okay, well, this player did this at this school, so that means he's going to do the same thing here plus X. Mm. This coach did this here. So, yes, and you have to do that to validate the hires. But there's nothing that's comparable between the two leagues. What you want for him is this. This is where I think that I try to think of it differently. Okay. He obviously had to interview well, mm. right? That he has to have, in order to be on the radar, you know, even if he's maybe like the second choice, he's thought of as a young and upcoming coordinator. Mm. So then you have to verify that through the interview process. Then you got to dig into what his philosophy is and would it match up to your team and what you want as your, in your program, in your identity moving forward. Even if it's a new identity, can it match with it? Then the personalities have to match. Then he has to be a good person. Then you got to look at how he recruits. You know, obviously coordinators really don't go out much. But then you got to look at all that and say, okay, this, you know, I'm sure he took a sneak peek at the roster, right? Defensive roster and potentially where you're at. Probably watched a game or two. I'm sure when his agent said, hey, look, if you're, you know, if you got an agent and he says, hey, look, you got to, you know, be on a plane by 6, you know, here's a zip drive of the defense. I'm sure you want to be tuned in to when you're talking to a coach about potentially how you can turn around the defense. You got to know the players. You just want to, you don't want to just say, I can do it. That's not going to do anything. Everybody mm-hmm. can say they can do it. So I think that's really what's more important, is that what the Coach Rule, and I guess maybe Pat Stewart, I don't know who, you know, obviously Coach Rule is number one, but in conjunction, I'm sure he's talking to other people in the program, what they felt like they needed that he can do. And, you know, I think he's going to get a lot of opportunities to do so. Also think that, you know, he's got a good little, you know, nucleus of young players. And I think if he can, you know, really, really get them sound fundamentally and understand and get the coaches, you know, you're coaching the coaches too now. Mm. You know, you're the defensive coordinator. You know how things want. This is your first time being in the big boy leagues. It's time for you to take full control. And it has to go from you. You have the blueprint. That blueprint has to go down from you and you only to the assistant coaches and to the players. And the players got to make it magnificent. And if you're able to do that day in and day out, you know, it'll be a good hire.
I just find it interesting how, you know, there were names thrown out all last week, since last Monday. And I didn't really hear much about this guy. I didn't hear a whole lot of chatter. It was all the Toledo guy and all these former coaches, Trent Bray, you name it. There was just a bunch of names thrown into a hat.
Yeah.
I wonder what stood out about this guy, you know, and what he brings to the table. Because obviously he has this year that backs it up. I'm just curious about what it's going to entail once he's here full time at Nebraska.
Well, I mean, yeah, you see that I think, you know, you'll be able to. I mean, I'm sure Coach will talk about it at some point. You know, I'm sure he'll be in front of the media at some point. Nobody knows when that is, and then you'll really be able to draw your conclusion from there. So.
Hey, what's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays, decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa, got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments, Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels, Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
This is Michael Rosenbaum. Hey, folks, let me tell you that drinking and driving is a decision that will change your whole world. Things will never be the same once you get a DUI, because legal fees and time in court are just the beginning. Getting into a crash is another way your world could be irreversibly changed after drinking and driving. Your vehicle may not be the only thing that gets damaged in that crash. You could face a life-altering injury or even death. But you're not the only one who could face those consequences. Your decision to drink and drive could permanently change someone else's world, whether you injure them or leave their loved ones grieving. The next time you're out drinking, call a rideshare, a taxi, a sober friend, or a designated sober driver. Always plan for a safe ride home. The only decision that will change your world for the better is the decision to call for a sober ride. It's never worth it to drive drunk. Don't risk it. Drive sober. Or get pulled over, paid for by NHTSA.
You know, I mean, just it was also last week. You know, everybody, you heard Jim Leonard, you heard Trent Bray, all these other guys, and it was just mainly the same names that you would think that have been in the Big Ten or off doing stuff. Nobody really knew, really thought there would be any type of connection. You know what I'm saying? We originally hired Tony White. It was Tony White, you'd heard about him, but he wasn't like Jim Leonard, yes, as far as in the Big Ten. Tony White was coming from the ACC, you know, by the way of UCLA. That's where he played and all that's where he cut his teeth, and San Diego State as well. So, you know, I think he fits the kind of 3-3-5, 4-2-5, the kind of, you know, a couple big defensive linemen. Another defensive end, kind of a smallerish hybrid defensive end, and kind of, you know, linebackers that can run and hit, and you're trying to, they call it overpopulate the you know, the point of attack. With that's obviously with speed, and so, you know, but you know, when you peel that back, you got to have really good fundamentals. You got to be physical. You got to be nasty, and you got to be extremely smart, and you got to be, more importantly, you got to be mentally and physically and spiritually tough. So all that thing, all those things that I mentioned prior. Don't get started until you handle the stuff what I just mentioned last. And so, you know, look, I, you know, he can coach. That's number one. He played at a really good program in college. So I let you know that he was, you know, he knows what it's like to win, even though obviously it was Division II in Bemidji State. And then he's worked his way up, and Idaho has done more with less. San Diego State, you know, they generally have good athletes, but probably not the top tier of USC and all that. To be aggressive, and so he got guys to buy into a system, and he's, you know, done well enough to develop them. He coached linebackers, so obviously they were the focal point of the defense. And so just because it's not a sexy name doesn't mean it's not going to be the right name. And there's an old saying, my brother's a doctor. And I always ask him, like, what does all this mean? You know, like, you know, after his name, you know, D.O. and all this, doc, you know, Dr. Garrison and all that. And he's like, look, the before and after, only thing that makes it is what's in between. And that's Garrison. That's him. So you make your credentials. The credentials don't make you. You get what I'm saying?
Mm.
And so it's a great opportunity for him. He's, you know, he's got a 3-year deal. So he's going to have time to, you know, really, you know, get himself locked in there. And it'll be interesting to see what he does. I imagine he's going to play, like I said, a little bit more 4-man front. I watched Boise when they had Ashton Genty. He had a little bit more of a 3-man front, you know, kind of really of a 34 defense, which essentially is a bare front. If you want to look at it, it was actually a 3-4 defense, but you see bare fronts if you just cover up the center and the two guards. So he's willing to try different things. And so, you know, it'll be interesting to see how he marries his concepts or his scheme or his defense. I don't like scheme. Let's look at his defense to the personnel and personality of the players.
Yeah, And you mentioned it, you know, the person makes the name. Kurt Cignetti is a great example.
Right.
Head coach, you know, this guy's coming from James Madison. He won there.
He won at Elon.
He's won everywhere.
Yeah, I mean, winners know how to win. And if you know how to connect with the players and you can get the players to you know, and the coaches, more importantly, you know, the assistant coaches to buy in and the players as well, you know, it'll work itself out. I think the best thing you can do coming in as a coordinator, from my experience, is really coming in and making your defense work with these guys. Because if you want to galvanize a room, say, listen, I'm going to get the best out of you. You do A and B, I'll get you to C. So whatever the A and B is, I need you, then I'll get you to C. And that's to get you to be the best player you can be. Because there's some talent in there. They just got to figure it. Now, the players got a big obligation too. You know, and this is one thing, you know, I'll say, like, everybody's talking about the coaches that are here now. And the coaches that are gone, you know, you talk about them initially, maybe a day or just like the 48-hour period. Mm-hmm. But you got to understand, it wasn't from a lack of effort from these coaches. They work hard. So there is a little bit on the players as well that you didn't perform. Mm-hmm. You get what I'm saying? And you just don't ever know that, you know, because none of us are in the meetings or don't know, you know, what they were supposed to do, what type of offensive line calls, if the offensive line was at fault and sacks and all that, right? Nobody was in there. But there is part of the players have to bear some of this brunt, right? You know what I'm saying? Now, coaches are held accountable based on how you play. That's part of being a coach. That's part of being a leader. And so some of these players are going to be rolling over. Like, don't think it's just a fresh start. It is a fresh start, but don't forget. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know, everybody's got to play better now. The stakes are higher. Like, when coaches start getting fired, like, stakes become extremely higher, especially if it's at your position. Tighten up.
Yeah. I mean, and they've gone through so many coordinators, both on offense and defense, for years now, and it's like, you can't afford this guy to just be here for 1 year and, you know, you go.
Well, the only way that you want him to be here for 1 year is that you kick enough ass.
Yeah. I mean, if you do that.
If you do that, he's gone somewhere. He'd probably be a head coach somewhere.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, I doubt it. I mean, why would you go anywhere else to be a coordinator, right? So if he goes on to be a head coach, you're performing well. That's good. That's a good problem. It really wasn't a bad problem when Tony White left, because he leveled up. After the first year, he was up for coaching opportunities. The next year, the defense played, you know, pretty consistent and decent, you know, not as good maybe in shock people the first year, but still pretty good, right? So then he went on to Florida State. He saw a good opportunity. That's not a bad thing. Where you weren't as successful as you like this year, that's what you want, or that's what you don't want. And for whatever reason, it happened. And so, you know, everybody just needs to step it up.
I agree. I mean, we talked last week when I was in here, one of my first days here, we talked about which defense works. I kind of dwelled on that and just thought, you know, I don't like switching up because I think it stalls player development. That was just my, you know, when we were in here small talking for a bit, that was one thing I kind of took to heart. Just, you know, I think just if you switch things up from left to right, it just stalls development. Because I think you mentioned you were on the Bills 1 year and you said it took about six weeks to get defense down.
Oh yeah. I mean, I look at it like this. If you're just switching just to switch,
mm-hmm.
okay, then that's where you're just kind of just closing your eyes and trying to throw a fastball to Barry Bonds, right?
Yes.
And let's see if he just has a bad day at the office.
If
you're switching, and I don't even call it switching, if you're adding or compromising or adjusting based on the game, the situation, changing personnel, you know, but you have your foundation. Right. And I call them non-negotiables. Non-negotiables to me are when you walk into the football complex, there's about 10 of them that are non-negotiable. Now, whatever they are, obviously you want to work hard, be the best teammate, mm-hmm. and be mm-hmm. physical, and all those things. You can, once you have those down, you can run two man front if you want. You can run a three, you can run a four. And so, look, they got to, you know, everybody's need to step it up here. It should be. You should be, you know, a little bit of remorse, right? If you're mature enough, right? I always feel like this. If you're mature enough to get paid, all right? If you're mature enough to get paid, you should have a little remorse that a couple coaches have been let go. Everybody. That means we didn't play well enough holistically, right?
Yes.
This isn't a finger pointing thing. Mm. This is a kumbaya. We need to do better.
A group effort.
Right. It's a group effort. You win together, you lose together. So then you have that. Then you say, okay, now we got some new energy. And now, like, okay, now we're, now you got to learn from, say, mistakes of the past, and we got to move forward and make this work, you know, and make it even better. And so it's a tremendous opportunity. And, you know, I think, you know, you want to welcome them, and obviously, you know, they're going to get in there and get busy. You know, Coach Wade himself, he gets a whole month, give or take, you know, less than a month to see who can walk and chew gum, coach them up, see how the react is coaching, kind of get a free, like I call it, cliff notes to getting into the season and really try to really connect with these guys. And really, you know, and the thing is, he's going to come in and see what was working well and not go away from it, and then add on to what he thinks he can probably lessen the burden of what was, you know, the, you know, obviously the tangible weakness. And that's all he can do. And then he's got to, you know, recreate the standard, communicate as effectively as possible, hold him accountable, encourage him, and do a little bit of both at the right time and when it's needed. And then they got to go perform, and then you got to adjust as it goes. So a lot of stuff going on. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back. We'll read your text messages. We'll give you our thoughts on your text messages. During the break, make sure you keep texting. We love your text message and appreciate your support. Jay Foreman, my man Nick, we'll be right back.
You're listening to Old School with Jay Foreman and Austin Orman. Download the mobile app and listen wherever you are on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
A lot going on. A lot of text. We'll just start from the top here. Unknown texter 1,000. Man, what kind of number is this? You got like some a Google number or something. You know what I'm saying?
I'm going to pull this up. I'll take a look.
Yeah, no, it's all right. It's cool. You ain't said nothing yet. I got to look at it before. I ran in a couple of trouble. I read a couple of texts.
Uh-huh.
Almost got in trouble. Not as bad as my man Eastrick, but almost.
Oh, okay.
Says, Jay, I got to ask you, is Matt Rhule going to be on the hot seat next year or what? Because, I mean, the last few coaches that we've had haven't lived up to their reputation. And one athletic director said, we're not going to let Nebraska fall to the mediocre if Nebraska goes 7-5 next year. Is that going to be okay? Appreciate you guys. Love listening to you. To put your piece through that, I don't think he'll be on the hot seat, you know, next year at all. I mean, I think you have put enough pressure on yourself that you always feel like you're in the hot seat, but I think that's internal. And I think, you know, he wants to do well. You know, you can't judge a present coach by the past coach's actions or anything like that. So I think it'll be fine. I mean, I think, look, you got to go and attack the portal. They said that they got the money to go do so. Now you got to go get the players and get the mix together, and then you got to put the best team out there possible.
Yeah, I don't think you can, you know, you're moving around coaches left and right. Why would you let go of your head coach and then do it all over and hit the, you know, just – We're gonna see what can stick.
I think the Matt Rhule hire is a lot different, and then Mike Riley. Mike Riley, I think they hired the complete opposite of Bo, and for whatever reason, you know, Bo and Eichhorst didn't mix. So be it. I think when we hired Scott Frost, there was nobody in America would have told you it would have ended like that. And so it was just, you made the best decision possible at that point in time, decision that you had to make, wanted to make, should have made, it didn't work out. And then, you know, Matt's been to two bowl games out of the last, or two or three years. And so you got progress. And you got to think, those bad decisions, right? You can go all the way back to Frank, then you got Bill Callahan, then, you know, made a good decision or great decision with Bo, and then boom, boom, two back-to-backs. Like, you, it's almost like, you know, if there's a piece of meat out in the, and that's the foundation of the program, you know, every, you know, diabolical bad decision is a big chunk out of there. You know, little chunks are missing on a wide receiver when he was a five-star out of Missouri or something, you know what I mean? And you know, he don't like the cold, or like Florida, you know what I mean? Like, the, you remember we got all those kids from Florida and then they never played because it was too cold. Yes. All that, like, those are like little chunks. Those happen like every year. the big ones are when you miss on that, and then a lot of turnover in administration. So right now, they, I think they got it, you know, pretty settled down. Then he asked another question. Is 7-5 going to be okay next year?
With that schedule?
Yeah, I don't really like looking at the schedule like that. Yeah, 7-5, I think. I mean, it's a tough schedule.
Yes.
Sure. That would be, I mean, it's when you, if everybody stays pat and those teams are as good next year or they are this year, then maybe so. So
it's hard to look at the schedule too when the transfer portal and rosters.
Yeah, you just don't never know.
Rosters so, change. Right, rosters can be different.
Or gonna be a lot different. Or gonna be a lot different if Dante Moore's gone.
Exactly.
Yeah. So we'll see. D-Train, even coaches feel entitled, just like the pay for play. It needs to stop, or the sport is going to decline like NASCAR. It's a joke, and fans are walking away. So he's pretty much saying the coaches and players are a little bit entitled. The coach has always been getting paid,
mm-hmm.
But it's probably got to the point. I think we're at the point now to change things. I think you need to blow the whole thing up. You need to blow the whole thing up and start over, or maybe have a cap, a real cap, like they did with the rookie cap in the NFL, where the mm-hmm. rookies were coming in being the highest paid players. It took a while. Now you're seeing it. A bad showing in this college football playoffs this year by those two group of five teams.
Yes.
That'll get everybody's attention.
100%.
Because that'll 100%. Double back onto, you know, trying to really get something together and fix. But I do understand what you mean about NASCAR. NASCAR was right up there. I mean, it's Saturdays and Sundays. You know, that was it. And now it's kind of barely
promoted. Barely promoted.
You don't, you know, like, you know, obviously they had, you know, Jeff Gordon and all that. Yeah, I know a little bit about NASCAR. Daryl Earnhardt and all that. And my man that had the Home Depot was a Tony Stewart. I met him once, you know. You know, those guys, and now they don't have those type of personalities. And obviously, you know, the only name that you really hear about in NASCAR now is Michael Jordan, because he's trying to fight NASCAR yes. so everybody can get an equal piece of the pie. Not the races. You know, not
correct.
So you got to be careful of it. I think, obviously, college football always going to print money, but you have to make sure that you keep it sustainable, because you are stretching everybody's pockets. Then there's a lot of money in America, but dang. $22 million a year. You are just stinging folks. Now you better go in the reserves, or because you've been stinging people for so long. But until you put a good product out there and something consistent and reliable, you know, you could run the risk of being like NASCAR, or like where baseball is at times, or mm-hmm. had been at times.
Yes.
So we'll see where it goes. One for you, Nick. 47-38. What's your take on having covered a lot of coaches before? How much do you weigh hiring a DC that has Power 4 experience versus someone with less experience?
So he's asking me, like, if we hired somebody, you know, Nebraska hires somebody from Oklahoma State or something like that versus yeah. hiring a James Madison. I don't think it really, it just has to be the right fit, I think. Because, you know, guys get hired from, you know, smaller schools and make their way up. That's just life in any sport. You know, you see it in yeah. college basketball. You see it in college football. You see it in the NFL. Guys, you know, like Dan Campbell was a guy, you know, he was just, works his way up the platform, and
yeah, he wasn't a sexy pick. Everybody made fun of him.
Exactly. And then, yeah. And then it yeah. was just like, oh, they were like 0-8 to start out his time at the Lions. And they had Jared Goff. It's like, is this it for Jared Goff? Is he not going to, you know, and now everyone loves yeah. Dan Campbell, Ben Johnson with the leaving for the Bears job. Everybody kind of made fun of that too. It's yeah. like, oh, he's who wants the Chicago Bears job? Sorry, Bears fans. But yeah. now look at you. You lost last night to the Packers, but you know, you're a respectable team that's in the playoff hopes in December. So in my opinion, I just think it doesn't really matter. You don't really need to get a guy from a Power 4 conference, because we mentioned earlier, Kurt Cignetti came from James Madison and he just won. But, yeah. you know, look at Indiana. Indiana has the hire of a lifetime.
They have probably the best hire for the turnaround, just because it's the best hire because of where Indiana was and
yes.
was as a football program historically.
Yes, they were.
You know, most great coaches don't go to Indiana to turn them around. You go to Indiana because, all right, I want to try to be a head coach at one point. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And so I think that also is up the expectations of other universities throughout the nation. Also think it's up the accountability too. because if you really study Kirk Cignetti, he's football all the time. Mm-hmm. It's very efficient, very short. It's football all the time. And if you're not dedicated and not, then you're not, if you're not a football guy, you won't be there. So that includes coaches and everybody like that. So we shall see. Scott and Lincoln say he disagrees with people on social media who say that because he is from the Mountain West Conference, that he would not be successful in a larger conference. At the end of the day, it's all about the schemes and how the players execute the schemes of the plays. I would tend to think that we have better athletes at the University of Nebraska to where if you're calling the right play, probably what he's saying, mm-hmm. and being put in the right place position by your coaches, that you should be able to succeed and be successful. That's 100% right. I mean, look, if you go back and study all the coaches, you know, where they started their coaching career, Kirk Cignetti is obviously the one now. All these guys, that's just, you start somewhere, then yes. you get an opportunity. If you can coach, if you can teach, and if you can motivate, and more importantly, hold them accountable, and you get to coach the way you want to coach, it's the 80% rule, you're going to be successful.
Yeah, everybody starts somewhere. That's just not just in coaching. That's just life.
Life, yeah. I mean, you get a chance, and you just keep knocking at the door, you'll be okay. And as long as he can do those things, and the coaches kind of take on his system, he'll be just fine. Anthony says, Jay, with the whole teaching the coaches thing is something I've always thought would be the hardest part. How much leeway does a DC get in that regard? You ask him to bring in his system in and fix it. What if he feels like he doesn't have the position coaches he wants? Can he make the change? That's kind of like, I don't know that. I mean, you actually need to ask Matt Rule that. Yes. I mean, but I think he gets a leeway in that he's going to want to do it his way. I mean, you're teaching, you know, and that's why I always say, like, well, he's really young. So I wonder, like, how many guys he's going to bring with, because it seems like he was hired from Idaho, and I don't think they brought the whole staff with him from Idaho.
No, they did.
So sure, is he really familiar with guys that he coached with as a DC for 1 year, 2 years at max? Mm. Okay, and you know, I think you come in and you teach the guys the system, you teach them your language, you spend a lot of time with them, and you generally shouldn't have any hiccups, right? The only way you have hiccups is if somebody's trying to go behind you and take your job. I don't think this staff is like that. Now, what you have to do is make sure, which is you're learning, the players are learning, and there's always a streamline of communication. Because as a defensive coordinator, you are the overlord of teaching this system that you're bringing in. And it might not be a lot of changes, but it's going to be a lot of language. The biggest adjustment I ever had when I went to a different team with a different scheme was we ran vice cover 2 in Buffalo versus we called it cover 6 in Houston. Yeah. And it might be a little bit different technique-wise, but I had it for 4 years in Buffalo. I'm just there new trying to, you know what I mean? And I'm calling the defense, so it's a little bit different. Sometimes you might play coverages, the same coverage, different based on the coordinator, what he wants. Players got to adjust to that, and the coach has got to coach it. So I think, you know, look, if you're a good coach, it doesn't matter where you come from. I think there's a lot of good coaches that haven't got an opportunity yet. And, you know, he's one of them that's getting an opportunity. And so I'm sure he's chomping at the bit to get here to prove himself too. And he's probably been waiting for this opportunity, and everywhere he's been successful. So, you know, you got to be successful here as well.
Yeah. If you're only a defensive coordinator at Idaho and San Diego State, you think coming to, you know, Nebraska, you're going to take it. You're going to take the job very seriously and looking to get the most out of it.
Yeah. Big Bang Hank. Yeah. Austin's all right, man. He's
they're worrying about Austin.
Yeah. you know, he's had another baby. So he's doing all right, man. He ain't getting no sleep. He need a 5-hour energy. You could drop him off here at this station at 1040 Oak Street. 1611 says 7-5. LOL. Luck if we get the 6 wins. Hi, Nick.
Yeah, getting a lot of love here.
Dan Campbell was made by Ben Johnson. That is true.
Yes.
But he allowed Ben Johnson to be himself. So Ben Johnson is a byproduct of Dan Campbell. Trust me when I tell you, Dan Campbell is one of the most competitive dudes that we worked out in the summer. I was like, this dude, he wanted to like bet who could eat dinner fastest.
So
like,
everything we hear about Dan Campbell is true.
Is 1,000%. And true. He ain't changing. And so that's where Ben Johnson is. And that's where Aaron Glenn fit in there as well. You had the mad scientist, and Aaron Glenn is real calm, cool, and collective. And then you got Dan Campbell. That's just Dan Campbell. But that's the mesh. It took a little while for people to get used to him and get understanding. And the players did too. And then once they got it, now they're Detroit tough. Thomas and Lincoln says, you're better than the other, Nick.
Jeez, I'm making friends, not with Sainert, I guess.
But. Yeah. The experienced power forward DCs will be looking for head coaching jobs. Most likely everyone is looking to move up, and you likely can't have it both ways. That is true. But look, if you knock it out, just like he just knocked it out of the park, he's leveling up too. And maybe not to a head coaching job, but to a blue blood defense coordinator job. Look, if your defense plays well, if your offense plays well, if your running backs perform well, your phone will ring.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a good thing. You know what I'm saying? That's good. Then it's more of an attractive job when you go and try to hire people, ideally. So anyways, another quick segment. We'll go to break. We'll finish the text, finish the hour. Then we'll get into the college football playoffs at the top of 4 o'clock hour. Jay Foreman, Nick, we'll be right back. What up? We're back. Jay Foreman, my man Nick, on the ones and twos. Quick segment here before we get to the 4 o'clock hour. We'll talk about the outcry. We'll talk about from the college football playoffs and the 12 that got in. We'll talk about the bowl games. Obviously, Nebraska's going to Las Vegas against Utah. I want to ask you, Nick, real quick, playing those Utah Utes, man, number 15 team.
Yeah, it's a big opportunity. Really big opportunity.
In Vegas, dude.
Yeah. New Year's Eve, Vegas.
You got to stay focused. You got to stay focused in Vegas, man.
It's a very big opportunity. They're one of the best rushing offenses in college football. Devin Dampierre, I remember watching him at New Mexico last year. Now, when he went to Utah, I was like, well, that's a great get for that program.
Yeah.
And it's Utah's just been Utah. And they're really good at running. I think Navy is the only team that's a better rushing offense than them so far, statistically, in college football.
Yeah, I think I'm going to try to text DP to get him because he's a Utah Ute.
Really?
He loves Utah.
He loves Utah. So Kyle Whittingham's been there for
a while. We got to ask DP, who do you like more, Utah or BYU?
Does he like BYU too?
I don't know. He likes Utah, so
like them. You cannot like them both. That is a rule. That is a rule.
We gotta ask. I think he's a Utah Ute, but we gotta get clarification.
I mean, you can't pick sides. If you pick one, you gotta rock. You gotta rock with one of them.
Yeah, we'll have to text him, see if we can bring him out of the bullpen for the 4 o'clock hour and so forth and so on. Old school. Jay Foreman, Nick. We'll take a quick break. Come back. See if we can get the governor. The via Nebraska of Utah,
the Utah
DP to come in and give his thoughts on the college football playoffs, college coaches leaving, Penn State hiring, and then who got in, who didn't. And we'll ask him if he feels sorry for Notre Dame because they didn't get in. Jay Foreman, Nick, old school. We'll be right back.